As we continue in our sermon series on our favorite hymns this summer, today we are taking a closer look at a longtime favorite from Ireland, Be Thou My Vision. This is another song that does not have one specific scripture reference, but it does subtly reference several scripture passages from across the Bible. So today we are going to hear from Paul's letter to the Romans. And because Paul really, really loved long run-on sentences, I am going to read from a different translation than what's in your pew Bibles to help us grasp what he's saying a little bit more clearly. This is Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 13 from the Common English Bible. So, brothers and sisters, because of God's mercies, I encourage you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice that is holy and pleasing to God. This is your appropriate priestly service. Don't be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds so that you can figure out what God's will is, what is good and pleasing and mature. Because of the grace that God gave me, I can say to each one of you, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Instead, be reasonable, since God has measured out a portion of faith to each one of you. We have many parts in one body, but the parts don't all have the same function. In the same way, though there are many of us, we are one body in Christ, and individually we belong to each other. We have different gifts that are consistent with God's grace that has been given to us. If your gift is prophecy, you should prophesy in proportion to your faith. If your gift is service, devote yourself to serving. If your gift is teaching, devote yourself to teaching. If your gift is encouragement, devote yourself to encouraging. The one giving should do it with no strings attached. The leader should lead with passion. The one showing mercy should be cheerful. Love should be shown without pretending. Hate evil and hold on to what is good. Love each other like the members of your family. Be the best at showing honor to each other. Don't hesitate to be enthusiastic. Be on fire in the Spirit as you serve the Lord. Be happy in your hope. Stand your ground when you're in trouble, and devote yourselves to prayer. Contribute to the needs of God's people and welcome strangers into your home. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Many of Paul's letters were written to churches he founded or ministered with, places he had lived, where he knew individual people and the culture of the church he was writing to. But when Paul wrote this letter, he hadn't been to Rome yet. This was partly a plea for financial and material assistance, as he envisioned a missionary journey from Rome to Spain to carry the good news of Jesus there. But based on what he knew from others, he also wrote to provide some introductory theology for these small house churches in Rome and to help ease some tensions between Jewish and Gentile Christians who disagreed on a lot of things, like food rules. This chapter, though, is a turning point in this letter. Paul starts with the theology, and then at the beginning of chapter 12 starts with therefore. In any part of Scripture, here's a pro tip, in any part of Scripture, a therefore is a cue to perk up our ears, to dial back in, because there are instructions coming. In this chapter, the tone of the letter shifts from information to obedience. Now that you've heard the story, Paul says, here's what I want you to do about it. Present yourselves as a holy and living sacrifice. Don't worry about what everyone else is doing. but allow the Holy Spirit to transform the way you think, the way you feel, the way you act. Be humble. Follow God's call. Care for the people God has put in your path with joy and hope. This is how we live out the grace and mercy of Jesus, Paul says. In the same way, "Be thou my vision" is a prayer. It is a plea for that kind of inner transformation that changes how we think, how we love, how we encounter the world. The original text for "Be Thou My Vision" was a prayer slash poem written well over 1,000 years ago, sometime between the 700s and 900s CE. It was written by an anonymous Irish monk in the early to middle Irish language, and it's a classic example of a specific kind of prayer for protection in distress, what scholars call a lorica. These would be memorized and they would be recited over and over and over again. According to Irish liturgy and ritual scholar Helen Phelan, the language of the prayer and the hymn are drawn from deep wells in traditional Irish culture. She writes, quote, "One of the essential characteristics of the text is the use of heroic imagery to describe God. This was very typical of medieval Irish poetry, which cast God as the chieftain, or high king, who provided protection to his people or clan. The lorica is one of the most popular forms of this kind of protection prayer and is very prevalent in texts of this period." End quote. Despite its ancient roots, however, the first English translations of "Be Thou My Vision" only appeared in the early 1900s. Scholar Mary Byrne wrote out a literal prose translation of the words, and from there, scholar and translator Eleanor Hull took her word-for-word translation and worked it into a poetic verse to more closely match the feeling and rhythm of the original. Shortly after Hull's translation was published in 1912, the New English poem was paired with a popular Irish folk tune called Slane, and boom, you have a new hymn. After World War II, the hymn found its way to the US and has been a favorite ever since. But unlike some of the other hymns we've looked at, whose words or tunes have changed over time, the words that we're going to sing in a few minutes are the same ones that Hull published in 1912. What we find in these words, in this hymn, is a deep sense of longing for the security of God's grace. "Be my vision," the writer prays. "When I am awake and when I am asleep, you are my light and my salvation, O God. Be my wisdom and my truth and never leave me. Nothing else matters. In the end, you are my victory and the promise I cling to." The original writer was worried about getting caught up in clan warfare in medieval Ireland. The Apostle Paul was trying to teach and create unity in a divided church. Plenty has changed since Romans and the original Irish prayer were written, but much has stayed the same. We still carry those same core fears about violence, division, and distraction today. This hymn lives on because in this song we find a prayer in which we can express our deep hunger, our deep longing for God to guide us, to shape us, to protect us each and every day, to keep us focused on what matters most, to keep us safe, and whatever comes to bring us home to God's kingdom. One of the dangers that we face, both as a society and as the Big C Church, is what I like to call majoring in the minors, getting distracted by petty fights and questions that could be easily solved if it weren't for our own human complicatedness. I asked some pastors this week if they've ever encountered a situation like this. And in a twist which should surprise no one, several of them replied with stories about choosing carpet colors for the sanctuary. Apparently, that is the question. But there was one story that stood out to me. It's from a pastor in a different state, in a different denomination, but it could be anywhere and everywhere. About 30 years ago, four churches in one town decided to come together to form one big church. All of them were shrinking, and their time was coming. They did all of the conversations, they did all of the work, all of the votes. They had buyers for every building, and they were ready to break ground on a big, new, shiny building. They had found homes for pianos and organs and supplies. Everything was coming together, but at the last minute, it almost all fell apart over one very important thing. Peanut brittle. Yep. Multiple churches of these four had massive annual peanut brittle fundraisers. The issue was not whether to keep doing the fundraiser, it was whether to make thick peanut brittle or thin peanut brittle. For one, you slam the pan on the counter, and for the other, you shake the pan. Which method they would use almost killed this entire four-church merger. They did work it out, but it was a close thing. Decades later, peanut brittle still takes over the church for 10 weeks every year, and everything else grinds to a halt. Regular ministries, mission projects, education, and discipleship, it all goes on hiatus in order to make room for the peanut brittle. Meanwhile, there has also been some trash talking with other local churches who do small, local peanut brittle fundraisers, and there are still some hard feelings between churches because of it. Y'all. Of all the things that could make ministry, collaboration, and sharing the love of Jesus more difficult in that place, for 30 years, it has been peanut brittle. Be thou my vision, both as a prayer and as a hymn, offers us a way out of the weeds, away from the peanut brittle, to help us recenter our hearts on the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. We are not immune to petty fights, major and minor distractions, shifting priorities. So this song, this prayer, is a gift indeed. So let us rise and pray together. Be thou my vision.